welcome them this morning.
Scripture that we're all familiar with, it's Luke 15:10, and Jesus said, "There is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents." May I say there was a lot of rejoicing in heaven the last three nights. Many came to the Lord. It's about 50 to 60 people came to the Lord, but I believe it's much more than that. I have a notebook full of things that happened, awesome stories that happened, and names and stuff, and haven't had a chance to go through it all, but I believe it's more than that. So there was a lot of rejoicing. Praise God. To God be the glory of great things he has done. We had about 20... on the average, 20 prayer people out there at the tents on each night. And I can imagine that each one of them could write a half a dozen stories that would bring tears to your eyes. A lot of them, it was amazing, the Holy Spirit moving. A lot of them would come up, and you'd barely have to say anything. Talk to them. I mean, we'd pray for their needs and mention the Lord to them, and they'd say, "I want to receive the Lord." Several of those occasions was whole families received Christ. I mentioned in the first service that you remember years ago where you would say, "What a bad dude," or "What a bad woman." Nobody knows that. First service didn't either, but it was only in my neighborhood. But when you were watching a sporting event or something and they won the Olympics, and they won the gold, and you go, "What a bad dude," in a good way, you know. Man, in this church, we have some mighty warriors of prayer. I'm blown away, and such amazing. One story that comes to my mind is when I was walking up to a young lady. And she had probably a two-year-old daughter, a beautiful daughter on her shoulders. She's walking out, and I came up and greeted her and asked for her prayers, and we prayed. And then I just asked her point blank, I said, "Do you know the meaning of Christmas?" And she said, "No." And I was set back a little bit. I was kind of shocked. So I was sharing with her, and her child was getting a little restless, wanted to go home. And I was kind of fumbling a little bit, and I just finally said, "Would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And she said, "Yes." So many stories of that. It was just an amazing time. And like I said, it was because of your guys' love as they walked through that front door that they were ready to receive Christ as they came up to the tents, many of them. It was such an awesome experience.
Well, I was just blown away from the very beginning, and I'm going to lose it again. I lost it in first service, and I'm going to do it again. I thought I wouldn't, but I'm going to. I was just blown away and blessed, and I couldn't think of a better way to spend Christmas than to serve others and to show them the true meaning of Christmas. And everything that was going on in that parking lot blew me away from. I didn't get to see them in the front doors in the greeting area, but I know that they were greeted with love. But everything, the play that was going on, the bounce houses, the hot dogs, there was a party going on at the cakewalking. I mean, even if it wasn't our congregation that was there, the people that had come, they were joining in on the party. They were dancing as these kids were going around and doing the cakewalk. It was just joy and love throughout the whole place. And I feel so blessed that we all got to go on a missionary trip this weekend together. We didn't have to go anywhere. God brought them to us. Yes, there was a lot of work involved, and I thank each and every one of you that helped make this event happen. It was amazing. And I hope and I pray that Danielle is going to be bugging Pastor Bill over and over and over again, because we've got so many new kids in the kids' church that we're going to need a lot more servants. So the one story that... touched my heart was I got the opportunity to pray with a family, but when they came to the circle, the mom couldn't take her smile off of her face. She was just beyond blessed. And I had asked them if they knew the true meaning of Christmas too, and gave them the Gospel of John and told them that they could read all about Jesus in this book that we're giving them. And she said, yes, I do know Jesus. And I asked if she was saved. And she said, yes, actually, I am saved. And my older daughter is saved. And she had two younger daughters. And I had asked them, I said, are you saved? And the younger daughter said, no, I've never asked Jesus into my heart. And I said, well, would you like to do that today? And she said, yes, I would. So I knelt down with her, and she prayed after me and received the Lord Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior. And she said afterwards, she said, Jesus, I love you. Amen. And then when we opened our eyes, her littler sister was standing there like this. And I'm like, what's the matter? What happened? And she goes, I didn't get to ask Jesus into my heart. I said, well, let's do that right now. So I knelt back down, and I got down on my knees, and she runs into my arms, and she sits on my lap, and she repeats everything that I say. And again, she ends, Jesus loves me, amen. So this whole family got to experience, and the mom, I even asked the mom, is that okay with you? And she was like, oh, absolutely, get these kids saved. So it was beautiful. And then we had another mom who came in. She also said that she was saved. But what we did here tonight, or the last three nights, was a refreshment, too, for these mothers and these grandparents. She said that she works so many hours and so a long amount of time that she doesn't get to spend time with her son. And her son's probably 7 or 8, and she says that he has to grow up awfully fast because he's basically almost having to raise himself. But she says she didn't know what she was going to get to do with him for Christmas. And she took the time to come here with him that night. It was last night. And she said that she got to see her little boy be a little boy again. And the joy on his face and her face was just no words can describe. So I just want to thank you. But also we had a lot of people, like Dan said, that were saved. But many came through, and the seeds were definitely planted, but they weren't ready to receive the Lord. So I just ask you, please continue to pray for them, because the seeds have been planted and they need to continue to be watered. And like he said, we had 50 to 60 people, possibly more. But I was praying for the Lord that those 50 to 60 would turn into thousands from this one event, and that Haltom City would be changed. So thank you again.
Probably do better this time, but yeah, it is such an emotional event. These 3 days were just, wow, a blessing beyond what we can imagine. With those brothers and sisters that I served along with on the red tent area, not the prayer tent, right? No, I'm kidding. The red tent area, we had the most wonderful, blessed experience. Every contact made with our invited guest was so well received. We got an opportunity to be the legs, the arms, but most importantly, the heart of Jesus. We were so fortunate to be able to do that. We prayed with each and every one of them, from healing to health, finances, jobs. But most importantly, when we shared the Gospel of John and the true gift that was taking Jesus into their hearts, it was overwhelming to see truly how many people were so ready. They were so ready to pray the prayer of salvation. It just blew me away. And all the smiling faces, and we would just thank them, and then they'd thank us, and we kept thanking them, and we'd walk alongside them, and they'd thank us, and it was like, no, thank you, no, thank you. I mean, but truly, thank you for coming, because we got to meet our community, our neighbors. Some of them said they didn't even know that the church was here, and I said, how can that be? I found it. But, you know, Sometimes the lives are so busy and so hectic for these single mothers and these grandmothers. And another story I remember is a grandmother walked up with her two granddaughters. And one of the things that she said was, I need prayer for strength and to continue on. She says, sometimes I want to give up. It's hard. She had already raised her child, and now she had to raise her grandchildren. And so we prayed, and we just loved on her. And that's all because of, like Pastor said, your faithfulness. And again, I say thank you, Pastor, because when God spoke this into his heart, Pastor was faithful. And then he shared it with all of us, and we all joined in. And like I said in the first service, I would never miss this for the world. The friends and the community and the impact is just unexplainable. Thank you so much. Christmas like never before.
Hello. I did that. How's everybody? So, my job was to be at the tables where people will come in first, you know, before they go into the building. So we had this list, and throughout the 3 nights, as I was driving home, I just kept thinking how the Lord put the right people there. Eric Rembach, myself, Josh Gonzalez, Jesse, and Kendall, and we had like one person to do the line. You know, Jesse, he's running that line, and it was like military. It's like perfect. And then you have Eric, who's super kind, you know, but firm. And, you know, we don't know what we're dealing with, right? So you need that personality. And then, you know, Josh was there just as a presence, you know, to then know, hey, it's all good. You know, and Kendall helped me out. But, you know, I was thinking, it is so the Lord, how he just picked the right people for each place. I just kept thinking. I walked through the tents, and like Dan said, there's a bunch of heavy hitters, you know, cleanup hitters in those tents. I just looked at the list. And I'm like, I'm out of here. This is high level stuff, and it really it was. And you know, it just if anything, it's reminded me once again is how blessed I am and how blessed we are. You know, this one lady said my daughter fell asleep on the bus on the way here. You know, they rode the bus. I remember I took a call. The lady's like, I have to clean a house tonight before I come, so I can't bring my daughter. I said, no, but you want to bring your daughter to this bounce. Okay, I'll take her along with me to clean the house, and then we'll be there. I mean, it's so easy, right, for me at least, for us, and we're so blessed, to go to Target, right, and buy a pair of shoes when our kids need them. But just to realize that people made those efforts. I mean, it just once again reminds me how blessed I am. We are, I'm sure. I have two stories that just, they're of many, that they just come to mind. One is on Thursday night, after the line kind of slowed down because there was a big line, I just wanted to walk around and see what was all happening because I couldn't see anything. And I saw this lady underneath the tent where the play was being played, you know, the Christmas play. I just don't know why, but I just went up and said, hi. And we got to talk, and young mom. And she went on to tell me, you know, ask me about the church. Is there a priest in here? I said, well, there's a pastor. He said, you got pews, and we have chairs. You have baptismal. I'm like, we have baptism sometimes, yeah. So she came from a Catholic background. And she tells me her story, how her one-year-old now was taken from her at birth by CPS. And she's been searching. She's like, I'm searching. I said, well, do you have Jesus? She's like, I do. I'm like, then you don't need to search anymore. You just need to tap into that, which you already have. She's like, I'm thinking of witchcraft. I said, that would just make it so much worse. And as the conversation went on, I said, can I pray for you? And she's like, yes, please. So I prayed, and it was just, you know, sometimes when you pray for people, you know something's happening, and you know it has absolutely zero to do with you, right? And I just felt like, okay, something happened here. And she opened her eyes and, quote, she's like, thank you. I will hold on to this. And I said, great. And, you know, they went on and so on. And the second story was on some Friday night, yes, a lady showed up, and she had a stroller, and she probably had like a 9 or 10 year old on that stroller, and it was a severely handicapped situation, and that girl was banging her head against our check-in table, and she wasn't on the list, but she went on her phone and signed up. So while she's trying to sign up on the phone, the one on the stroller falls to the ground. And I remember I looked at Josh, we looked at each other, I was like, what do we do here? So she signs up, she's trying to get in. So when in doubt, call Sandra. So I'm like, see, it's a good one. Let me talk to the boss. So I'm like, hold on, I go in, we run, you know, the play, if you will, by Sandra. Sandra's like, she's here, she showed up on my phone, bring her in. And I just thought, you know, it was like an audible play, you know, like, Peyton Manning calling the Omaha, you know, it's like, ah, oh, we're off script here. Let's do this. And, you know, I think of that story. Remember with the Gentile woman? It's like, Jesus, Jesus. And it's like, hey, it's not fitting to take the bread from, you know, and give it to the dogs. And she's like, yeah, but the dogs eat up the crumbs, right? And Jesus is like, hey, I haven't seen this faith. Remember that? Jesus went off script, if you will. And I was just so blessed that even though it wasn't, it was still coming. And she was there. She went through. And so the whole thing. And lastly, as I was walking through, I remember Josh, I'm like, what's going on here in the prayer tent area? It's like, this is, quote, holy ground. And I felt it. I'm like, man, it's warmer in here than over there. I mean, it really was tangible, the presence over those tents. I couldn't describe it. And I was praying the entire, week. It's like, Lord, put a massive angel on each driveway, just to protect this place so nothing happens. And I believe if we had eyes to see, right, like Elijah and his friend, it's like we would have seen massive angel, like, what's up? You know, it's all good here. It was like that, you know. So anyway, I'm done. Thank you so much.
Well, God is good. Amen. Amen. Let's pray one more time, and we'll get into a short sermon this morning. Father, we praise you again. I am so thankful for the testimonies, Lord. Many just hearing for the first time all that's going on. So many were saved. So many were changed. So many were delivered. Lord, we give you praise for that. Father, on this day of celebration, unlike other Sundays, I pray that you help me to say the right thing, the right way, and Lord, that it enters into our sheep's heart. So, Lord, bless your word now in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Let's turn this morning in our Bibles, and I'll be there in probably 10 minutes or so, but to Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, verse 1. You know, it has been, it's been an adventure, hasn't it? I mean, think about it. It started all the way back in January. The whirlwind is coming. The harvest is ripe, and prepare. And here we are, you know, the day after the three nights of Candy Cane Christmas. Over 1,000 people showed up. And man, it was wonderful to see all that. And then they, all the single moms and the kiddos and so forth, and you, consumed over 1,400 hot dogs, and I can tell some of you really enjoyed them very well this morning, you know. So 3 nights of this outreach that we've been planning for a year, and for one purpose, and that is to win people to Jesus Christ, the greatest gift in all of the world, an indescribable gift, Paul the Apostle said. So, I want to thank you, because I watched you. And the people who came, they watched you. And here's what they saw. They saw you demonstrate the love of God. They saw God's love in action through you. You obeyed the great commandment, not just to love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength, but the second part is the great commandment too. You loved your neighbor as yourself. I am so proud of you. Because we really do believe at this church that love never fails. Amen. And I'm so thankful for all that you did. And what's so wonderful on my part about you is that what the people saw. In other words, they were greeted not by a religious people. They were really greeted by a real people who loved the Lord and who demonstrated love to those who came. Amen. So I am so proud of you. Remember last Sunday, or I don't know if it was last Sunday, like I told the first service, the cheese is gone, off the cracker. And if I put you to sleep in the next few minutes, may I join you? That's how tired I am. So with all that being said, remember what I said. I said that whenever people start coming, I pray that those who come say this to others: come see a real church. Come see a real church that cares, a church that truly loved me, did not judge me, regardless of color or race, whatever, because we love everyone, amen? That's exactly what, and you know what? That's exactly what you did. This has been, since this is our largest outreach in the history of this church here. Now, we've had major outreaches in Fort Worth, years ago. But this outreach was different. And it was a tremendous learning curve for me and for many of the people, well, all of us actually, on what to do, what not to do. And so if this occurs next year, which I hope that it does, it's going to be more streamlined and much, much easier. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's good. That's how you learn. Amen? Now, with all that being said, we must this morning give honor to our God. I mean, He is the faithful God. Amen? Oh, I am so thankful for all that God has done. The prophet said in Lamentations, he said, though the Lord's mercies were not consumed, His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. And then he says, great is thy faithfulness. There has never been a time, there has never been a moment that God is not faithful. Never. He is always faithful. When we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself, meaning He can't deny who He is. He is indeed the faithful God. Amen? And I say, oh, Lord, I am so thankful. But what's wonderful, guys, listen, as we just celebrate this morning, and then, we'll probably get to Luby's before the Baptist after this sermon because it's going to be a short one, okay? And you'll thank me for that later. But remember what Paul the Apostle told the church at Corinth. They were out of fellowship with one another. They were also out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are not. Paul writes, and he says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, I love it. He says, God is faithful. Yes, He is. I love that. Have you sinned? I pray that you haven't. But if you did, He is faithful and just to forgive you of all sins if you confess them, amen, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness by the precious blood of Jesus. No, God is always faithful. And it says God is faithful by whom you, Calvary Chapel, were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen, God is faithful. He says, I want you. I've called you. I want you now that I've saved you and sealed you with the Spirit of God. I want you to have fellowship with my Son. The word fellowship, you know it very well. Koinonia, the Koinonia Cafe, a place of intimacy, a place to talk, a place to share, have all things in common. Amen? We have all things in common with Jesus. And what happened in these last 3 days is this. You went out and you experienced His purpose, or purposes, and His plan for this campus and the people who came, amen? You experienced what the Lord was doing. You were in His perfect will, loved one. And I say, oh God, you are so good to us. The Bible tells us, it says, therefore, loved one, it says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, we know that our labor for the Lord is never wasted, amen? No, Jesus, the Lord, He did everything. All we did was follow Him. And when you follow Him, He makes you fishers of men. Amen? Man, I am so thankful. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, He, meaning God, who calls you, is faithful and will also do it. And He did it. We just got to participate in His adventure. God's word for this church, I did not define it. I only declared it. Even in the last, every day, people say, well, this is what we, I said, I don't know what we need to do. I'm taking everything one day at a time. It's not my party, amen? It's God's. And we need to be warriors who listen to the commander-in-chief every day, not just, I have it down. I live one day, and then I wake up and live the next day. I don't know what God's going to do tomorrow. Do you? No, but he does. We have to be very careful. That word that God gave us, we did not define it, but we certainly declared it, and God pulled it off. And what did Jesus do? Instead of sending you, as already been said this morning, instead of sending you out into his harvest, he brought his harvest right to the Calvary Chapel campus. What a deal. I mean, I say, Lord, you're just unbelievable. He did that, and not only that, isn't it amazing that our faithful God who called us to do what we did this year has paid every penny of it? Not one, as far as I know, not one penny of the candy cane outreach has come out of the general fund at Calvary Chapel. God raised up people all over America, you as well, and it was all paid for. Isn't that what a blessing that is? Amen? And not only that, the reason about all of that, well, let me back up. Why did God pay for it all? Well, where God guides, he provides. Pastor Chuck taught me that. Where God guides, he provides. I don't worry about money at this church. That's why people say, well, when's the offering? He didn't say anything. Well, did you not see it go by? You're supposed to be ready. We don't beg here, amen? God, this is God's place. He provides our needs through you, yes, and others as well. But here's the deal, loved one. I'm thankful for you. You were faithful. You were. I'm proud of this church. You know, the psalmist that says, trust in the Lord and do good. Feed upon his, dwell in the land and feed upon his faithfulness. That's exactly what we have done. We trusted the Lord. God says in his word, God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is a universal law. Those who sow to the flesh reap corruption. Those who sow to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And then Paul continues in that scripture that I'm quoting right now, and he says this. He says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. And that's what we have been doing, doing good. He says, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, to everyone. And that's exactly what we did here for the last 3 days. Not only that, we're to be good to the household of God. So what am I saying? I'm saying that you didn't give up. I'm saying that I watched you, and I'm so thankful for you. You labored for an entire year. And then we all went out there and we sowed love and hope and goodness and peace and smiles and prayers for 3 nights into the hearts of the people that came. That's what you did. And the Lord God turned this campus, like I've said in the past, into one big, huge Lake of Galilee or whatever. And then he stocked it. He brought in the lost sheep. And we got to participate. Man, I'm so thankful that we could go fishing, and we did. And let me tell you what God is this morning. He is well pleased with all that we have done. Not just pleased, he is well pleased. And let me say something to you. Many people have talked to me about these last 3 days. Well, really 4 days, the setting up and all the rest that we've done. Preparing, and the preparation has been going on for a long time. Now, but with all that being said, it's the rewards that we're reaping for what, because of our obedience to the Lord. So many people, someone stopped me last night. Maybe it was last night, maybe it was last week, I don't know. But they stopped me and said, I'm so glad to be a part of this outreach. Other people came up and talked to me about, said, Bill, I feel connected. Because it's been a long time in the last 4 or 5 years about outreaches locally, amen? And they were telling me, Bill, You know, and I said, you're right. You see, we're now much stronger. We're also much closer, and we're more united than we have ever been in many years. Amen? Why? Well, we spent time together. We spent fellowship together. We were working together because we obeyed God's word. And you know what you did? You made the god of this age, the wicked one, the devil, the deceiver, the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, you made his territory weaker. Isn't that great? That's what you did. And you know what? People came and they were completely removed from the power of darkness, translated over into the kingdom of his dear son. Those who were dead in trespasses and sins, they have now been made alive because of you and your obedience and your prayers. Man, I say, God, you're so good. Why? Well, because the harvest is ripe. You see, it's his harvest. So quickly now, are you at Luke 15:1? Let's just do a quick little study here. It says, and then all the tax collectors and all the sinners and all the grandparents and all the sons and daughters from Haltom City and surrounding areas, they drew near to Jesus to what? To hear him. Isn't it amazing? You know, the Pharisees, the scribes, there they are. You know the story of Luke 15, that they could not stand tax collectors. They were the most hated people in all of Israel. The Jews didn't even believe they could ever be saved, or they weren't allowed in synagogues or anything. And so, and then sinners, they couldn't even touch a sinner. You know what I mean? Then they were unclean. They had to do all those washings and so forth. And so, but here, it says that the sinners, they're just lost. They're dead in trespasses and sins. Man, they drew near to Jesus Christ to hear the word that he was saying. And the Pharisees and the scribes, look what they did. They rejoiced. No, they complained, saying, this man, meaning our Savior, this man receives or welcomes sinners and even eats with them. Now, you know back then, if you were invited to someone's table or to recline and eat, it was a sign that you accepted them in the eyes of the religious crowd, the Pharisees. So Jesus, this man, receives sinners. Listen, there is no other type of people that Jesus can receive. Amen? For everybody is a sinner. There's not one that doeth good. No, not one. Thank God he received us. Amen? So the Pharisees, they couldn't find any fault with Jesus. So what did they do? They turned to those that were in sin, that had come to hear him. They turned to them. It's amazing that Jesus attracted sinners, but religion or the Pharisees, they repelled them. What was it and why did sinners and those that were the most hated in that area at that time, why did they draw near to Jesus to hear him? You know why? Because Jesus loved them. He didn't participate in their party. He loved them. That's what you did. Why was there such a flow and a power and anointing of the Holy Spirit in the red tent? You know why? Because of you. You allowing the love of God that has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto you, you let it out. Like Sarah said a moment ago, you were the heart, the hands, the eyes, the arms of Jesus Christ. You did an incredible thing this December. You were faithful. And I say, Lord, I'm so thankful for this church. He says, and Jesus spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses just one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? You know, that's exactly what our Lord did. He said, you go prepare. You get everything ready here. We did. We labored and labored and labored. And what did Jesus do? He was out rounding up sheep. Amen. I'm going to bring some from this side of town, this side of town. He knew the ones he was going to bring, the ones that he was going to save. Amen? He knew those things. Why? He's the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Man, he doesn't lose a sheep. He doesn't lose those he's called. He's not going to lose you. Amen? And I say, oh, Lord, you're so good for allowing us to participate in this. And he said in verse 5, he says, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And he comes home, and look what he does. He calls together friends, his neighbors, saying to them, here it comes, rejoice with me, or I am so full of joy. And the reason? For I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say to you that likewise there will be not just joy, but more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Loved one, listen to me. You know what we did? We did exactly what Jesus just said. We placed value not on numbers, but on people. People matter. All people. Black, white, brown, pink, blue, I don't know, green. It doesn't matter to me. I love you. Amen? Yes. Listen, the value of just one person. What did Jesus say? He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. That's what he did Thursday, Friday, and Saturday through you. What a privilege. Amen? Oh, listen. You know, I look at that and heaven is rejoicing. God doesn't desire any to be lost. But you know what? Heaven is rejoicing. You don't know why? Because God is rejoicing. Jesus is rejoicing. What a glorious thing to know that on all those nights there was joy in heaven because of what you were doing. Now listen, the Bible tells us in Philippians 1:27, it says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. The word conduct means your character, if you will, or you are to act as who you are. You're a citizen of heaven. And Paul continues and he says here, he says, you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There you go. That's exactly what you did. You stood fast. No one was going to kick you off or mess you up. You were fixed, man. You were holding onto the ground. And you know what? You were just like one big army. And you stood fast in the spirit, meaning you stood in the power and the strength of another, the divine helper of the church, the Holy Spirit. And not only that, we all were striving together, or as one translation says, fighting as one man, side by side. And that's exactly what you did. From the moment they entered over there in the parking area, off the street into the park, all the single moms, grandparents, children, whoever was there, the moment they entered the parking lot, they were met by a people that were one. They were united in heart, they were united in spirit, they were united in mind, and they were all working together for one thing. Not only just to love people, not only just to be good to people, but praying that they would see Christ in you and receive Christ. Amen? That's what it was all about. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:16, It talks about how the body grows in proportion of its love and as it edifies or builds itself up in love. But it says it does that as each one, each Christian, does its share. And I marvel as I watched you. Each one of you doing your share. May I just read this right here? Because this is right off the press this morning, if you know what I mean. And I want to make sure I get it right. I said, each one does its share. That's what you did. He said, you carried out the Christmas bags, or they carried out the Christmas bags that you packed. They carried out the Christmas bags that you packed with the presents you bought. The children put on new shoes. They put on warm coats. They ate the hot dogs you cooked. They drank the hot chocolate you made. They won cakes from the cakewalk that you baked. And right now they're spending their Walmart cards, amen, for Christmas, or gasoline, or pharmacy, or diapers, or whatever. Isn't God good? Last night, as we left here, it doesn't matter. When we left here, when I go home today, my bed, you know, you ever know how you pull the curtains when it's daylight outside? And you get the pillow and kind of put it over your face. You crawl under the covers. You shut the door. You don't want to hear the ticking of a clock. You just want to just pass out. I'm not even going to go to Luby's, man. I'm going to go home and I'm going to pass right out. I'm happy about that. I'm not going to get in my lazy boy. I'm getting in my bed. I'll put my pajamas on. My Star Wars pajamas, you know. Last night, after we left, we get home, all I wanted to do was go to bed. And my iPhone went off, you know, when you get a text or whatever, email. And I started looking at what came because I saw Love Never Fails on it. And I read it to my wife. And I just started crying. Let me read it to you without crying. From a family that was here. Hello. I just wanted to give you, all of your congregation, my most heartfelt gratitude for the blessings you gave to both my son and I through your Christmas program. She says, I slipped and fell on November 1st, and I broke my kneecap. I had surgery followed by 3 weeks in a rehabilitation hospital, which used up all of my savings. I had no idea how I was going to provide shoes for my son, let alone Christmas. Through your beautiful blessing, he received both shoe and a new jacket. To say that I am blessed is an understatement. I know I can never repay you for your generosity, but I hope one day to be able to donate to your church, just as you've done for me. Thank you once again. I am forever appreciative. Isn't God good? Amen. Now listen. That particular mother, she didn't wait till the next day. She did that last night because she was so thankful because of what you did. Oh, what a great, great thing. I can never repay you, she said. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, listen, when you throw a dinner, when you throw a party, when you have a feast, he said, don't call your buddies, don't call those your relatives, you know, and all that, because they can repay you. Amen? That doesn't mean you shouldn't have Christmas dinner with your family. That's not what Jesus is saying. But he said, listen, whenever you're going to throw a dinner, whenever you're going to have a candy cane Christmas, whenever you're going to make those kosher holy hot dogs, you know what I mean? Jesus said this. He said, listen, oh, no. He said, here's what I want you to do. You invite the poor. You invite the maimed, the lame, the blind. Why? Because they can never, ever pay you back. We want nothing from anyone. Amen? No, all we wanted to do was love and to give to others. That's what we did. And Jesus goes on and says, oh, when you do that, you're going to be blessed because they cannot repay you, but you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Remember what I told you about that? One day, all of us, because we obeyed Candy Cane Lane Christmas, we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, the place of rewards. It's going to be mentioned. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. I guess God likes candy canes. Amen. What a glorious thing to know. Now look at verse 8. Let's wrap this whole thing up. He says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she should lose one coin or loses one coin, does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, oh, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost. Jesus says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Yes, joy. Whose joy? The joy of God the Father. Amen. All of heaven is rejoicing. You know, the other morning in prayer, and I believe it was Thursday, but it could have been Friday, but it was one of those days. A lot of times, probably you do the same thing. You have your pad next to you and pen when you're in your prayer time. And I was so tired, I think it was Friday morning, because on Thursday, you know, I have my little iPhone set to how many steps you take. 20,000 steps. The day before, 18,000 steps. Wednesday, I was at 16,000 steps. I'm stepped out, man. I don't want to be in shape. I'm I'm throwing that app in the trash. No. Man, I'm worn out. No, listen. And the Lord moved on my heart. I just started praying. You know how you pray? You praise him when you just, Lord, I love you. I'm thankful. Today, what does this day hold, Lord? What are we going to do today? How are you going to use me today? How can I please you today? What is it? And immediately, there in the darkness of that 5 a.m. prayer time, I just was moved. And I started writing down about this event called Candy Cane Lane Christmas. And this is what I wrote. I said, God's whirlwind has now been done. It's done its job. I said, years from now, a once little 10-year-old boy or 10-year-old girl will say, you know what? I gave my heart to Jesus at this church right here. I stood outside in line with my mother. Oh, I'll never forget the big cross and the fountain. Oh, the Christmas lights and the huge candy canes along the street that was taller than me with those red bows. But the people, they greeted me. They greeted my mother, and they acted like they were really happy that I came, that we were there. A woman that I had never met even hugged me, scared me to death. That night was my first time ever to be in a bounce house. First time to have my face painted. I ate 3 hot dogs. They gave my mother a big white bag, and inside of that big white bag was another bag with my name on it. I had a new coat. I had new shoes. I sat out there Friday, or maybe it was Thursday. It doesn't matter. It was one of the 3 nights. I was out by the trash area, and I was talking to the person who paid for all those tall lights for us. Isn't that amazing? And I was talking, I saw a little boy, about 10 years old, maybe 9, he ran over to his mother, and she had the big white bag with the presents, and he was trying to pull it out of her arms. And she was talking, said, stop it. You stop it right now. But anyway, make a long story short, he won. He ran all the way, I mean, maybe 20 yards away from her. She just stopped. He opened that bag up. He sat down on the curb by Valerie's play. I needed a word from God, didn't I? And he jerked his shoes off. He reached in there. You know those real cool boot shoes, you know, have their high top? Man, he looked at those. He put them right up to his chest, and he put them on, didn't tie the shoelaces, and started running. That's what you did. Just a pair of shoes, a new coat, the joy that brought to them. I continued writing, and I said, they gave my mom money. There were $150 in gift cards there for our Christmas. I watched a play about Jesus' birth. I sat on my first bale of hay. It was cold, and the hot chocolate was good. The actors looked so real, and the angels were beautiful, and the voice of the narrator sounded like Moses. I will never forget that night. Their kindness. But it was the last stop where we received the greatest gift of all. As Mom and I walked up to a red tent, and it was there in a tent called Free that my life He walked in dead in trespasses and sins. And he walked out as a new creation. And old things have passed away, and all things now become new. Amen. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He went to a tent called Free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, whom the Son of Man sets free, he shall be free. free indeed. A tent called free. Only in the heart of a little boy, a little girl, will never forget that red tent and those words. That's what you did. You prepared, you worked, you gave, you prayed, you loved your neighbor as yourself, and you, through God's grace, brought in the harvest that was right. That's what you did. Our only purpose for this entire thing was to get people to the red tent, and that's exactly what you did. You brought people into the kingdom of God. You removed not their material poverty, because that's impossible for us, but you removed their spiritual poverty. And your works, our works, will follow us to the throne of God. He is indeed well pleased. And this year, this finishing out of December 2019, now this is only the beginning, loved one. This is only the beginning. The year of 2020 is, you'll find out on the first Sunday in January. Amen. But now, you guys are tired. You've worked so hard. So beginning today, we now enter into our Christmas season. We now slow down. And we're going to enter in till the end of the year into a Christmas rest. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We are tired, but it's a good tired. We are weary, but it's a good weary. We are so thankful that we are a part of the whirlwind of God. And we have no idea the rewards and the results of the things that are still going on and what's going to be happening. Thank you, God. And I thank you, Lord, for this church called Calvary Chapel. I love them dearly, and I'm thankful for them. Bless them now, Lord. Keep them in all of their ways. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? As always, if you need prayer, we're going to close out with song, and there'll be people down.